We're speaking with Ali Baranski, who is the executive director of the Festival of Sandpoint, and Bob Witte, who is the president and, I don't know, is there a CEO of this group?
Just keep it a president of the board of directors.
President of the board of directors. Well, thank you, Ali and Bob, for taking time to talk with us about this great festival season we just had.
Of course. We're tired but happy.
Yeah, well, I should say, this is Tuesday as we're recording this, and the last concert was just 2 days ago.
Yep.
The Spokane Symphony. I was there.
Yes.
And it was just lovely to listen to that beautiful music.
On 10 events night. In 11 days. I mean, that's unprecedented.
Yeah, right. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit, because you did squeeze in an extra main act, and then you leveraged two acts on Sunday. But overall, Ali, how did this season come off?
In short, I'd say pretty amazing. You know, I've now done this 2 years, and last year I would think every challenge that we could have had was thrown at us last year, with COVID cancellations and smoke and rain and lightning and extreme heat and new time
and a new field.
And we had the mobile ordering app and trying to, you know, follow all the COVID requirements. So in contrast to last year, this was a breeze.
Yeah.
And I think you can really feel it, at least for me, in the audience. Last year, things seemed a little more tense. Like, it was so hot and so smoky, and people hadn't really been to a show or many in 2 years. So there was a lot of anxiety and, you know, the whole world.
And the protocols were a little stiffer last year. Like, for instance, you know, you had to order your food via the app, which you didn't have to do this year. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were a lot of things. And this year, it just seemed like the whole attitude, the whole vibe was positive and happy.
Yeah.
And it was such a relief.
Yeah. It really was.
So now, with 2 years at the new field, and by new, if people are unacquainted with this, it was a grass field. The city has installed artificial turf there, which creates a different paradigm for you in setting the thing up, right?
Exactly. We have to get there earlier. We stay later. But the biggest part is we install event decking. That it alone costs us over $100,000 each year. So as a nonprofit, to kind of add that big of a line item on our expenses was pretty shocking with an organization that kind of like broke even, if that, most years. So really getting creative and trying to find out how to make more money, adding shows, trying to cover that overhead. And it just having to move Festival Street behind into the park and getting the electrical for that. So most of those really big problems we solved last year or learned from, and were able to adapt a little bit, like making Festival Street bigger, things like that.
So what feedback do you have on the experience of having it on the artificial turf versus grass? Have you heard much in that regard?
During the day, you know, it's like during the week of setup, it's miserable because it was, you know, about 90, 95 degrees maybe. So on the field,
the turf gets hotter.
Much hotter. My hat's off to the soccer kids who play afternoon games on that, because you're running around for 90 minutes is something. But once the sun gets below the stadium roof, it seems to be okay. And then especially with all the blankets, I don't think there really is that much of a difference.
Yeah. And I'll say, as you know, somebody that went to several of them this year, that it does start cooling down, you know, a decent amount, around 5-6, and the temperatures on the field were not bad.
Yeah. It has its pros and cons. It drains quickly if there's rains. It's really flat, so people are less likely to like roll an ankle or something. But yeah, as Bob said, it gets really hot. I think one time when we were setting up on those hot days, we checked the temperature and it clocked in 150 degrees on the turf. So our production guys out there who are working in the heat of it to really take the brunt of the turf.
Well, I guess it's all for the love of the event, right? Yeah. So you mentioned during the finale that the festival basically shattered some records there.
Yes,
which ones?
Did. Individual ticket sales, so those full price tickets, we sold 5,600 more this year than any other season. Mind you, I do keep adding shows, so that helps.
That's right.
But the averages are up across the board. I think this year we just had that much higher caliber of acts across the board, so that was really helpful. Every single show, my goal is that every single show can stand alone financially. They sell enough to cover their own costs, specifically the artist costs, and every single show did that this year and met our revenue variance that we wanted for each show. Mm-hmm. So in the past, I think there was always like those big shows that kind of carried some of the others, but this year every single show carried itself, which was our goal.
Plus, to add to that, my personal goal is at least 2 sellouts and no bad nights. And we had 2 thriving sellouts and other nights that were really close. So yeah, it couldn't have been better. It was, mm-hmm, it was like a dream.
So the sellouts were Beach Boys and Lindsey Stirling. Mm-hmm. Which were the ones that came close?
Kaleo was 130 tickets short of a sellout.
Thought we'd get it at the gate. Came close.
Yeah,
they sold 400 tickets day after that show. It was a really impressive turnout.
Yeah, and I will testify, darn good show.
Yes, it was.
Those guys are from Iceland.
Yeah.
The one thing I wish they would have done more, though, was talk a little bit more and tell us a little bit more about their experiences and where they were from. Like, you have some performers that like to do that. Yeah. Lindsey Stirling was great with that.
Yeah.
And then there are some that performers that just get up and play.
I will say Kaleo is on a pretty intense tour. They were playing the next day in Edmonton.
Yeah.
So I think
They said they leave here and drive up to Edmonton. Yeah.
We actually suggested they play Monday or Tuesday, so they had an extra day to get there. And then they said, oh, we'll do Wednesday. You're going to be driving all night. Mm-hmm. It's the only way to get there.
That's how they do it.
That connected it to the other acts pretty well, though, mm-hmm, didn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, in an event this big and complicated, you must have had some hitches this year. Anything that left you kind of scrambling?
Once again, in contrast to everything last year, this year was pretty easy. I'd say the biggest hitch that you can't plan for is, you know, a lot of contracts state that we cannot open the doors prior to sound check being concluded while the acts are on stage. And unfortunately, Beach Boys took on a very extra long sound check. And so
started late.
Yeah, so they extended our doors by 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
So for a sold out show to have 30 minutes less to get everyone in.
Oh, yeah.
And with an evening with where Beach Boys came on right at 7:30, so people trying to get food, get in the doors, that was something that we couldn't plan for. But I think people were, I even saw someone post it online, it was worth the extra long sound check.
Well, they get a little bit of that when they're standing in line, right?
Yeah. So that was, I think, the one thing that we couldn't plan for, so it made it so not everyone got in right when the music was starting. But we had a brand new ticketing platform this year that went really smooth compared to our old vendor. So yeah, I'd say in short, it went really smooth this year.
Okay. And you have a hard finish at the end, right? I mean, there's a time that you have to turn the mic off, basically, because of the arrangement with being in a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's, if they start late, then you can't just add on a half hour at the end.
Correct,
the other end.
Yeah.
And that's kind of frustrating for those of us that want to hear more at those encores, right?
I know.
But so it's kind of a matter of personal taste, but so which were the best acts this year?
I'm biased, naturally, because booking each one of them, I get emotionally invested and I am confident in them. But I would say one thing, I was just talking about this, I think every single show exceeded my expectations, which is a great thing to have. I mean, I think the Revivalists coming out first night, I forget how much different kind of music they play. They kind of have a lot of different genres and their musicality. And then country, both acts were just performers. They knew how to entertain the crowd. People loved it. Mount Joy musically was phenomenal as musicians. Their show really was impressive. Pink Martini, everyone loves Pink Martini. You feel like you get to travel the world with them. The Kaleo obviously was a rocking concert, and there a lot of people traveled for that show. So we had really great
sales. And one thing that was interesting about the Axe this year, a lot of people said, I never heard of these people. A lot of people in my age group, I should say, younger people like Kaleo's coming or Lindsay Sterling, they're all excited about it.
Yeah.
They're groups that older people haven't heard of, but they have big followings.
When we were talking about Lindsay Sterling in particular, I'm like, Allie, it's completely your call. I don't know her. But when I tell, my 34-year-old daughter and her kids that Lindsay Sterling's coming, they're like, oh my God.
I don't think anyone on the board knew who she was. And I was like, when you know, you know. People who know Lindsay Sterling, it's a whole nother.
And if those board members saw the show, they had to be kind of blown away.
Well, right? It's hard to describe unless you actually see it. It's really hard to describe unless you go on YouTube.
That just doesn't really convey the impact of being there.
It doesn't.
For folks that didn't see the show or don't know about Lindsay Sterling, her dance is a huge part of it.
Yes.
And so she's a electronic violinist and she's dancing. She has some dancers on the stage with her, but she's doing some acrobatic moves up there, not missing a note. And I'm a skeptic. I put the binoculars on her. She's faking it. She's faking it. This is a soundtrack. And no, she was playing.
She's doing it. She's
and I nice. I was trying hard to find a flaw in her playing. And I don't think there was.
She's something else. Yeah, and then Beach Boys, I mean, John Stamos.
Yeah.
He showed up. Yeah, that's right.
Being a part of that show, John Stamos, even Lori Loughlin hopped on stage. I mean, I think that just hearing that they have 2 hours of hits. Mm-hmm. And everyone knows my 3 and 5 year old came, my mother came, so we had three generations. So I think that was pretty cool about that show. Gregory Allen was magical in like a very intimate way.
We needed a mellow night.
Needed a mellow night.
I love the revivalist. David Shaw is a great guy, this singer, songwriter. Mm-hmm. And just before they came, I love anybody who's passionate about what they do for a living. He's there on stage left. He's got his hands on the rails, and he's just pumping himself up. I love this. I love. He threw in some can't say on the radio, but he's like, I love this. I love this. Yeah. I love this so much. And then he runs on stage and grabs the mic.
Oh yeah,
that's unbelievable.
He was totally amped. Yeah, no question.
And I really like that opener, The Moss. They're in their 20s from Salt Lake City. And people talk about no one's doing rock and roll anymore. Well, these kids are, and they're writing their own songs. I thought that was really impressive.
Yeah.
But I think Lindsay, to me, is what kind of like filled up my heart the most. We were sitting next to some probably 12-year-old girls, and seeing how emotional people were getting and how much they truly loved her, and then just her message of positivity and it's okay to be unique. I think that was all in all just really...
She gave some great little talks about gratitude and believing in yourself. And she signed a violin for a little girl that brought her violin right there on the stage. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got to wrap up here pretty quick. But so the dates for next year's festival at Sandpoint are July 27th to August 6th.
Correct.
Any ideas on the acts that you're going to try to get here?
It's shocking to hear, but during the festival, I was already writing offers for next year. Not that I'm busy enough, but yes, we are offering for next year. Of course, I cannot say who we are offering on. I probably offered on 80 shows last year to get the 9-8 main acts. So I offer a lot. Depends on what sticks. And who's in our area.
That's right. Who's traveling through. Yeah. It's really kind of a horse trading situation, isn't it? Land these guys.
By starting this early, though, if you can get them to commit to coming to, say, here.
Here. Then they fill in the other places.
Here in Seattle. Yeah. And then you just fill in all around us.
Yeah.
So it works sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like people to suggest acts?
Yeah, we always get suggestions. Sometimes we have, and I'll check, we have an online request submission because we get a ton of suggestions. And then we tend to do social media posts and ask people during certain times that we're booking pretty thoroughly. So yes, of course, suggestions. I will say if they sell out stadiums, we probably can't afford them.
Okay.
That's my tip to people.
So if they're a sellout at the Gorge, they're probably not going to be able to fit their crowd in here.
Correct. Yeah. They're probably cost way too much for us to afford. That's my tip to people.
Okay. Well, Ali Bransky and Bob Witte with Festival Sandpoint, anything else you want to throw out there? I'll say from the audience side of things, it was a great season.
Yeah, it was. We're very positive. It really just filled us up. And I think now we kind of get into our nonprofit side of things. We're prepping for all of our music education programs. So I do say if you have any instruments laying around collecting dust, we do take those donations. And then our fiscal year actually starts October 1, so that's when we start to do season passes again, and people start to sponsor and donate for the next year. We start prepping.
Mm-hmm. And of course, underwriters and donors are very important to the festival.
Of course, yeah. This year, I'd say, I was saying how we've broken records in sales, and we had such amazing sponsors and donors and volunteers this year. I say that, but then I'm like, but also remember, we're now paying $100,000 more a year for our turf. So those are the things that we need to have happen to continue to survive and stay sustainable.
So everybody out there know that donations are much appreciated and needed. Well, Ali and Bob, thanks for talking with us.
Sure, thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.